Well, when I was 2 years old, my life changed drastically. My parents had been married a long time before I was born, something like 11 or 12 years, so I don't remember all this very well, but I think I was the focus of a lot of attention and joy. And then that was exponentially increased on June 27th, 1952, and not just by one. Actually, those were the days when Grace was our surprise. And Mom used to talk about how after Edwin was born, the doctor said, there's another one. And so you can imagine she was probably grateful that they kept Moms in the hospital a little longer and you could get the second crib and get the unexpected needs filled before they came home. But our lives were so enriched. Everyone was fascinated by the twins, and we lived in the faith home, and we attended the school down the block from the faith home. And well, within a few years, it took me a while, but within a few years, I began to discover that the twins excelled in all sorts of ways that I didn't. They were smarter than I was, and they were much more talented than I was, especially in music. Grace actually used to get out of doing the dishes quite often when Dad was home because he wanted her to practice the piano, and so he would do the dishes in her place, and he would sing from the kitchen so that she could pick up the songs and practice in the room where the piano was. Now, he never thought my music was good enough to take my place at the dishes. And so, you know, there's a little sibling rivalry along the way. And, well, Grace generally came out on top. She graduated second in a high school class of 714. And that second, I think, was by some hundredths of a point, a fraction. There was real close rivalry there, but she was the second. Well, neither Edwin or I could ever complete a crossword puzzle faster than Grace. She usually excelled. And yesterday we were looking through some old school records. And I'd just like to share two things very quickly. This is a comment from one of her teachers. Grace has been a consistently superior student and a very pleasant person. Her personality and ability reflect her wonderful character. She is an excellent candidate for any college or employment position. This was way back in high school, and I think you all would recognize that Grace. And then I do have to make, this is a fairly typical observation of her teachers going through those report cards. There was one that was a little more atypical, and I do need to take an extra 30 seconds to tell you this, because at the bottom of her elementary school record, the very last thing on the record that got sent along to high school, was a comment that Grace had been the runner-up in the school-wide spelling bees 2 years in a row. And then were the teacher's initials. And then the very last thing in the corner, in parentheses, said, beaten by her twin. Now, this is the only documented time, I think, we can remember that Grace was beaten by a twist. I had to share that, I'm sorry. But as we grew up, as I said, and gained perspective, as I grew up and gained perspective, I realized the privilege, really, that I had of sharing life with two of the most gifted people I knew. And Grace's quick mind could be a little bit intimidating at times, as someone said before me. She'd pick up on any little mistake or alternate meaning or and bring it back at you. And so she was ahead of us in lots of ways, but our formative influences were the same, and all of us majored in history. All of us shared the rich heritage of a family, aunts and uncles, parents, grandparents, the extended family and a church family that loved the Lord and put his service first. And so as I think of Grace, tonight. I think of her in the context of family experiences, and I really remember consistent traits that are very similar to the ones that I read that her teacher observed, that the child grace and the woman grace were marked by the same characteristics. Love for the Lord, living to serve him, love for his people, the things that we've heard, love for children, eagerness to have other people come to know her Savior, a big smile, friendliness, concern for other people. Her school records, everything that we have going all the way back, really portray the person that you knew, that all of us knew. As you know, we sang a lot at our house. Believe it or not, the three of us, see, we became the three of us. They were the twins, and then there were the three of us. And the three of us used to provide, almost before we could, I'm sure before we remember, special music in the services sometimes. This was German or English, have your choice. We learned songs and sang together, and then we sang a verse each, and then we'd sing the last verse together. I remembered, as I thought about grace, and all of the hymns and all of the rich tradition and some of the that I've reviewed with her in the last few weeks as we were together, my mind went back, and I don't know why. It's kind of strange because there's so much richness and so much that has come after, but to one time years and years ago where I could almost see the three of us walking up this side and standing over here. And we were probably like 5 and 7, and singing words that our mom had taught us, and a very simple song, nothing Watts or Wesley, I don't even know who wrote this one, but it was just, sweetly Lord, have we heard thee calling, come, follow me, and we see where thy footprints falling lead us to thee. Though they lead o'er the cold, dark mountains seeking his sheep, or along by Siloam's fountains helping the weak, if they lead through the temple holy, preaching the word, or in homes of the poor and lowly, serving the Lord, footprints of Jesus that make the pathway glow, we will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. And then that last verse that always seemed mercifully remote, you know, it's kind of like we're little children. Didn't like to think about the last one so much, but then at last when on high he sees us, our journey done. We will rest where the steps of Jesus end at his throne. And that's the verse, really, that comforts me today. That this is a testimony that marked Grace's life. This was her attitude, to find and then follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and then following where they led, and last week they led to his throne. And I would just say that I think the best way that we can honor her life and her testimony is by doing the same. I was with Grace a lot in the last few weeks. Some of you might know that I have the peculiar habit of reading the Psalter from the Book of Common Prayer, which has morning and evening psalms and gets you through the psalms every month. And I did this with Grace when I was there morning and evening. We read the morning and the evening psalms, and it was very interesting how they would be so appropriate to the day. And Friday, when we knew that she was weak and knew that it was likely that her life would soon be over, the first of the morning psalms was Psalm 116, and I read these psalms to her from the Book of Common Prayer because the standard edition, if you know Grace, the Book of Common Prayer was a 1662 edition that was a translation by Miles Coverdale. It's not the King James Bible, and this was the first English Bible that was placed in the churches of English-speaking Europe in 1540, the first access of the Bible to the Bible by every person in the United Kingdom. And so I read her some of these verses, and so the phrasing is a little different, but I just wanted to share a few of them with you because I was struck by what I came on as I read. I will receive the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows now in the presence of all his people. Right dear, it says, right dear in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Behold, O Lord, how that I am thy servant, I am thy servant, the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast broken my bonds in sunder. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord in the sight of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, even in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. That's what she's doing tonight as we celebrate God's goodness to her here. Just one more quick thing. 2 years ago, we gathered here. Many of you were here when my father passed away. And we turn to the concluding passage of the second part of Pilgrim's Progress at the end of my father's funeral service, because there's such a beautiful testimony, such a beautiful summary. This is a book that Grace loved. But I will admit to you that we skipped a phrase. There's a phrase in here that in what I'm about to read, and it refers to a civet box. And a civet box is not exactly a common thing. So we skip that. It has to do with perfume, fragrance, just for your information. As soon as the funeral was over, Grace walked down from the piano. She came over to me and she said, "So, Edith, why did you skip the civet box?" So I'm going to read the civet box as I read this testimony, because the other thing that she said was, I hope that someone reads this passage as my testimony at my funeral. And I certainly had no idea that 2 years later I would be doing that. But it is her testimony and something that she wanted you to hear, as in these classic words, what God's grace in her life accomplished. "I see myself now at the end of my journey. My toilsome days are ended. I am going now to see that head that was crowned with thorns and that face that was spit upon for me. I have formerly lived by hearsay and faith, but now I go where I shall live by sight and shall be with him in whose company I delight myself. I have loved to hear my Lord spoken of, and wherever I have seen the print of his shoe in the earth, there I have coveted to set my feet too. His name has been to me a civet box, yea, sweeter than all perfumes. His voice to me has been most sweet, and his countenance I have more desired than they that have most desired the light of the sun. His word I did use to gather for my food and for antidotes against my faintings. He has held me and kept me from iniquities. Yea, my steps has he strengthened in his way." And then a paragraph down, it says, "But glorious it was to see how the open region was filled with horses and chariots, with trumpeters and pipers, with singers and players on stringed instruments to welcome pilgrims as they went up and followed one another in at the beautiful gate of the city."
Thank you. That's great. Our family has had a number of patriarchs. There were eight brothers. Our father had seven brothers. And I guess our patriarch, maybe your family has a patriarch too or more, but we have one here tonight. He's also our senior pastor, Uncle Gordon. I wonder if before the choir comes to sing, if Uncle Gordon, you won't come and just say something to us yet.